Previously on Thomas and the Bible, we delve into the book of Isaiah, a so-called latter prophet. The Israelites piss God off again, so he stops accepting their sacrifices. In turn, God pisses Thomas off by having not written the Bible in HTML. We are introduced to haughty daughters of Zion, who apparently are slutty because they walk with their necks stretched forth. Also, God promises to discover their, quote, secret parts, with a miraculous Thomas yawn count of zero.
I can't believe I had a zero yawn count. There's no way. Wow, miracle. Miracle. Thank you, Harley, as usual. I love the also that your accent, or my lack of accent. I'll be worldly and say my lack of accent. Or sorry. Your lack of accent. My accent. My American accent says haughty daughters, which sounds like haughty, like H-O-T-T-I-E, but yours sounds much better, you know, haughty daughters. It's so much, it just sounds, I love it. If I wouldn't sound like such a poser, I would just try to develop a nice English accent, but then I'd sound like Madonna, you know, like a fake put on one. But it's so, I just love it. It just sounds so much like more interesting, you know. I could listen to Harley all day. Truth be told, Harley's actually not interesting in any way. You talk to if you just read what he says in text, not interesting, boring. But once he brings that accent, no, I'm just kidding. Harley's both very interesting and very amazing sounding. So I'm so thankful to have him as my little intro maker there. It's pretty cool. So, all right, we're on Isaiah 4, and we're going to be going through Isaiah 9. There's not much remarkable about it. I keep trying to read stuff about it to find out what to tell you, but I mean, it's just a boring prophet that talks about some crap that's never going to happen, of course, and that's about it. I mean, there's nothing, it's as everything else, it's not, you know, it's not actually written by the guy, or only part of it is, the rest of it is added later, or, you know, stuff like that. It's all, that, basically look at any entry on Wikipedia of a Bible book, and it's largely the same stuff. It's all, well, you know, here's, this might have been written by this guy, but maybe this, you know, it's remarkable how imperfect the perfect book is. Just no idea. Anyway, okay, I've covered that before, so let's get right into it. Isaiah 4, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Ooh, yep, I'm interested. You've piqued my interest, Bible. well, okay, there's no description of the women. I could imagine, you know, there could be seven women such that we'd be 0-7 and I wouldn't actually be wanting any of them. But, you know, seven women, pretty good odds. Sometimes, you'd have to accept, like, you know, maybe there's a few bad ones. You sort of go, you know, you're like, okay, I'll take one for the team on these ones for the me. Take one for the meme. Because you know, five of the seven are quite serviceable. So I'm listening, basically. Seven of the women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Okay. This is sounding very Mormon. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy by everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place for refuge and for a covert from a covert or covert from storm. It's a cover, but not from storm and rain. Yeah, so I think what it's saying is like, this is talking about how like the bad people be purged from Israel because there's a bunch of bad people and there's a bunch of sluts and stuff, which I get rid of the bad people, keep the sluts in my opinion, but all right. to each his own. But I think it's saying there that once you've gotten rid of all the bad people, then each there's going to be like seven women for every guy. is that what this is about? Yeah. No, nothing human about this book. This is definitely divine. This is for sure divinely inspired. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, O men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'm not sure why we care about this guy's vineyard. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but maybe we'll find out. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor dig. I think this is a metaphor, maybe. I think this is a little allegory for what God did. He like made this perfect place, or is it God? Let's see. It's been well beloved. Yeah, it's probably God from God's perspective. Like he made this perfect vineyard, and then you know people took down the fence that kept all the different, you know, people in, which I'm sure would look different than them. I'm sure that's probably how it went back then, different tribes. I'll just read on. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. Briars and thorns. Illegals sneaking into the vineyard. that's what's happening. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. That I'm not sure I understand what the equivalent of that is. But anyway, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Oh, I was right. I guessed right. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Yeah, this is really, honestly, I wonder if people, right wingers mention this nowadays or use this as justification of like, yeah, see, we got to keep those people out of our vineyard because, you know, God gave us America and, white people are the chosen people and we got to keep all these, illegals out of here. It's sort of the same thing. It's kind of funny that you would think God, I love how they're talking about a God, like an all powerful God, and God just picks, I've said it before, but I mean the whole concept, God just picks like a handful of people that have nothing good about them. They're just the same shitty people as all the other shitty people in the world. And he's like, you're the chosen people. And like this is written from the perspective that God would want the Israelites to keep everyone out and like kill them and be like, imagine thinking that that's what the person in charge of the world, in charge of the whole universe would want. It's remarkable. I can't believe even back then people that were that dumb, but I guess they were. I mean, and I say dumb, I mean, I don't know what else to say. They were that unimaginative that they wouldn't think for a minute like, And I guess, we're just this day and age, we're spoiled with the thought of people that came before us and we're much more enlightened. But man, it's crazy. Crazy. But maybe there were lots of people who were more thoughtful, but they weren't the ones who wrote this book or they were, who knows? I don't know. Thoughtful people just died because of evil, cruel people. I don't know. Not sure. Simple-minded, cruel people. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Also, I mean, maybe things were just too rough to be that, to have a chance to be that thoughtful. I mean, maybe you kind of need to do what you need to do to survive to a certain extent. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, tabret, I don't know, and the pipe. Shouldn't be French, but if this is the old English version, maybe they put in a French word, I'm not sure. And pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, in the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Well, that sounds famous. But how do you know what's evil and what's good? So like someone just decides, anyway, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble upon among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint, and their wheels shall be a whirlwind, like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar out against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look into the land, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Okay. We're on Isaiah 6 now. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Is full of his glory. I don't know why I read it that way. And the posts of the door moved twice. So this is some vision, I guess, some weird dream. This guy, you know, smoked some peyote or whatever, and having some, like a six-winged horse or something. Or not a horse, a seraphim, whatever that is. So six-winged seraphim, like doing stuff. This is crazy. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, O Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten, as a tile tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I don't really know what this meant. Let's see. Isaiah 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of wood are moved with the wind. Yeah, sort of. It's not really a good analogy there, or simile, or whatever it is. Like, trees are moved with wind, yeah, like a few inches, you know, maybe a little more if it's like really bad wind, and then they're moved right back, usually. They just kind of snap back into place. So his heart was moved like a little bit. His heart was moved like, I almost care, no, I don't care. Like, that's that's the equivalent of trees moved with the wind, right? Isn't that kind of a bad comparison? Like, oh, you've moved me like trees with wind. So you kind of swayed a little bit and then move right back. Anyway, then so I thought this book was supposed to be the best poetry, you know, the Bible. Oh, it's so good. Such a good literary thingy, piece of literature. It's awesome. Just read it, even though it's not true. Yeah, that's what they say. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, and Shear-Jashub. That's a name. S-H-E-A-R. S-H-E-A-R, Ja-Shub, Shear-Jashub, Shear-Jashub. I added an extra S. Shear-Jashub, so thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah, have taken evil counsel against these. This is boring. This is really boring. Saying, let's go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. This aggression shall not stand, man. Neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye will not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, as thee is wide for you, Harley. There's a for sure yawn. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Yeah, you mustn't tempt the Lord. I guess meaning like tempting fate. Like, oh, I'm not going to tempt the Lord to like curse me for asking him for a sign. Yeah, because that's so hard. It's really hard to ask an all-powerful God for stuff, isn't it? Look, he can't be bothered. Don't bug him. He's, you know, he's reading right now. He's watching his TV show. He's watching Letterman. Don't bug the Lord. He's got a drink. I love how that we treat the Lord like it would be so hard for him to do stuff. Like, nah, I'm not going to ask him that. Look, I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to, you know, put him out. You know, I don't want to like, yeah, I just don't want to be a bother. He's up there doing God stuff. You know, he's godding up there, being all powerful. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but ye will weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Interesting. That's kind of Jesus-y, isn't it? I better look that up. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Hebrew for God is with us. Interesting. So, I'm going to look this up here. Yeah, I think this is kind of supposed to be Jesus, but I don't think they knew that back then. Anyway, a young woman. But so maybe this is what sets up the prophecy. Because, you know, you always hear this stuff like Christopher Hitchens and others would talk about how the Old Testament would set stuff up and then the New Testament sort of artificially, you know, satisfies the conditions of the Old Testament prophecies, like not really in a convincing way. So let's see. His spelling appears in chapters 7 and 8. We're in chapter 8 of the book of Isaiah as a part of a prophecy assuring King Ahaz of Judah God's protection against enemy kings. Well, Jesus didn't give anyone protection against enemy kings, right? It is quoted in the Gospel of Matthew as a sign verifying the divine status of Jesus. Oh, oops, sorry. I didn't mean to eat ice. Ah, terrible manners. I apologize. Yeah, but that isn't really like a good prophecy because Emmanuel, like Jesus, isn't Emmanuel. I don't know why you just decide that's his name, I guess. Emmanuel is a different translation or something. So, anyway, whatever. So that's interesting. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come, and they shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all of the thorns, and upon all the bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet. And it shall, shall also consume the beard. I think this is maybe like a geographical kind of analogy, like the head and the feet and the beard, like of the land, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense otherwise. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall, this is great prophesying. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall every one eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be, where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall be even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns. Oh, we're on 7, not 8. But it shall be for the sending forth of oxen, for the treading of lesser cattle. Isaiah 8. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Marshalalashbaz. Why name your kid that? And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went up into the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Marshalalashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord also spake unto me, saying, forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice the resin in Remaliah's son, now therefore behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the kings of Assyria in all his glory, and he shall come up over to his all his channels, and go over all his banks. and he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces and given ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. This is basically a long, I haven't summarized in a while because it's kind of confusing, but I've determined that this is a long-winded way of just saying that there are other Israelites who are splintering off and doing bad things and letting other people in their groups and worshiping other gods, the usual crap. And this guy had a dream from God, a prophecy saying, don't do all that. I'll, resist. And though you might be afraid, blah, 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 blah. And ultimately he'll be right, of course, or something. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards, yeah, seek wizards, everyone, wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves. I done fret myself. And curse their king and their God, and look upward, and they shall look under the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, they shall be driven to darkness. Okay, Isaiah 9. And it's just as long. I was hoping it was short. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That didn't happen. And his name shall be called Wonderful. I don't remember Jesus being called Wonderful. A quick note, and I've pointed out before, and not that I originally did it, of course, a zillion people have, but I think I heard it from Bart Ehrman, that if Jesus really did fulfill all this prophecy stuff, then Jews would recognize him as a savior, but they don't. They don't recognize him as this, the second coming of God. No, not the second coming. That's the wrong word. They don't recognize him as this prophet, the coming of this, Emmanuel. And it's interesting because that's a good way to argue against Christians because, like this stuff. The government shall be upon his shoulder. What the hell is that? He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it Or wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, it's the sun. That's not right. For a second, I was just trying to determine if it said like, oh, when the Son of God is born, whoever the current king is will have all this. But it doesn't say that. It says the Son is born and, you know, he'll have the government and all this stuff. And he doesn't. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Not true. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted up upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and the stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail. Yeah, I think that's right. Branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and that they are led off, led of them are destroyed. They that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall he have mercy in their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly, for all his anger is not turned away. But his hand is stretched out still, for wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns. It shall kindle in the thickest of forests, and they shall mount up like the lifting of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is darkened. And the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand. They shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Wow. Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah, for all this anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Dum, dum, dum. Okay. So that's the reading. That's through chapter 9 for today. So it's really boring. I got to be honest. I don't like this book at all. The book of Isaiah, that is. Not a lot to say, just boring prophecy. But it was interesting. I didn't realize this Emmanuel part was in there that I think people use to say like, oh, that's Jesus, the prophecy. But I don't really think it's true. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening as usual. I may have a little project I'm trying to do with a friend of mine. I've been looking for someone else to kind of do it with that concerns this podcast. So we'll see. Of course, you know, things fall through and I'm busy, of course, but I'm going to try to make this happen and might be interesting. So I'll let you know. I just wanted to drop you a little cryptic useless hint that you can do nothing with, but just putting it out there. Maybe it'll help me follow through better, but I think it should be a cool project. So there's that. All right. And also, thank you so much to my patrons. And I will say that any project like that I do, if it's depending on what it is, you know, could be, I don't want to give anything away, but, different projects I might do that might normally cost people money. If you are a patron, you will likely be able to get it for free as part of a perk of being a patron. Depending on whatever it is, I might set a certain level patron that you have to be. I don't know. But probably not. So let's see if we got any new. I think we did get some new patrons since last week. So last week, did I thank Z Hespelt? I don't think I did. And I should. Wait, 5, 7. I probably did. I don't know. Whatever. Z Hespelt, if I didn't thank you, thanks for joining. And now I got to thank my usual John P., the best. And Daryl Keys, thank you so much. John Bodley, Katie Quesnell, Quiznos. Tom Chambers, Marcel, Jeremy Sharp, Brian Gerfert, Lee Primesberger, David Vandervlies, Joseph Hazelton, and Travis Peterson. Thank you guys so much for supporting me. I really appreciate it. You are the best. I love you. I will keep doing this show for you, and I hope things will be less boring than Isaiah, because Isaiah sucks. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it together. We always do. We always come out the other side, don't we? All right. I will see you guys next episode. Adios.